Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a nurse? Or do you know someone who is a nurse? We can all answer yes to that one. Have you ever wanted to know more about the challenging and fulfilling profession? Can you imagine finding out what's so funny about nursing? Tell me, do you know what humor can do for you or your loved ones when they're ill? When was the last time you heard about humor in hospitals? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? And are you ready to laugh and find out what's so funny about nursing? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She has been on the show before, and we love having her back. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.3 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Thank you to all of you who went to view me. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. She is an international speaker, neurohumorist, nurse, and author of What's So Funny About Heart Disease, What's So Funny About Diabetes, and now What's So Funny About Nursing. While her classmates were dissecting frogs, she was dissecting humor. Now she is a highly sought expert in mid-body medicine. She's spoken to thousands of people around the globe. She is the past president of AATH, as well as the recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award. She is also the co-founder of the World Laughter Tour, teaching people how to laugh for no reason. Her mission in life is to improve global health through laughter and to heal the human impaired. I'm pleased to welcome back to our show again Karen Buxman. Hi, Karen. How are you doing today?
Oh, January. I love it that you're a winologist. Is that what it is?
Oh, yes.
I'd like some cheese with that wine, you know?
Right. I have a degree in winology. Not many people can match that one. Well, this is a very, very exciting week for you, and I'm so glad we can share this with our listeners. This is Nurses Week, and you have just brought your book out last week. Tell us a little bit about it, Karen. What prompted you to write this book in your wonderful series?
Well, I really wanted to put together a book specifically for this profession. This is actually the profession that brought me to the dance because I did my research in graduate school. And when I was working on my master's in nursing, did my research on the relationship between humor and health. And I learned so much about how it can benefit just all people in all walks of life. But, you know, most of my books have been patient-focused, as you mentioned, people with diabetes or heart disease, and there'll be a line of these with the chronic illnesses, including cancer and Alzheimer's and other kinds of chronic illnesses that people have to deal with. But I thought about, what about the caregiver themselves? What about the person who is actually, you know, helping to care for them, and how can humor help them? Because after all, currently there are, there's close to 2.5 million nurses in this country, and by the year 2020, it's going to be almost 3.5 million. So chances are, if you're listening in, you either are a nurse, you're related to a nurse, or you know and love a nurse. You know, it's just like everybody has a nurse in their life. And
absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know,
I wanted to share and give a shout out to my daughter-in-law, Lisa Jonason, who is a nurse at Northside Hospital in Cummings, Georgia. And you're right, everyone knows nurses and everyone loves nurses.
And, you know, it's especially, you know, if you've ever been in a situation in healthcare, you know, the doctors get the credit, but the ones who are really delivering the hands-on care, the ones who are there 24/7, not popping in the room for less than 11 minutes. Not that I don't love doctors. My father was a doctor. My sister is a doctor. I love doctors. However, you know, truth be told, it's the nurses who are there 24/7 for the people, and you know, they need a lot of tools to help them be resilient. And there was a good friend and mentor of mine. Her name was Melody Shinnevert. Actually, her name still is Melody Shinnevert. She's not that. But she told me one time, she said, you know, sometimes you need tools. Some days you need weapons. But you need your sense of humor every day. And I find this to be true no matter what your background is, no matter what your profession is. But I wanted to be sure that I could really arm people with something to be more resilient, because, you know, if you've ever talked with a nurse, you'll know that this job can many times be just a really tough job. It can be tough physically, it can be tough psychologically, it can be isolating, and
let me ask you, Karen, I have your wonderful book in front of me, and the first chapter is What's Not So Funny About Nursing. Could you share some thoughts on what's not so funny before we talk about what is funny?
Well, again, what I was just mentioning is just the nursing profession itself, it takes a physical toll on nurses. There are a lot of nurses who have a myriad of health issues because of the high level of stress. As I'm sure you're well aware, and probably many of your listeners are well aware, stress is a contributing factor to a lot of illnesses, whether it's depression or diabetes or heart disease or other kinds of ailments. They suffer from physical pains, musculoskeletal issues. A number of them have anxiety problems. There's a high number of them with things like TMJ, temporal mandibular joint disease, which is actually in the jaw. They end up with back problems. So physically it's a very hard job. And as I mentioned, psychologically it's a hard job. Many of them have to do swing shifts. You know, that's not a lot of fun. And again, being isolated from friends and family many times. And a lot of the issues they face, whether it's the illnesses today and the virulent strains of diseases that they're exposed to. Many of them are exposed to people from walks of life who might cause them physical harm. And you know, other kinds of things that aren't fun are many times the issues that you see. Many times in walks of life, we see a lot of things that really are very sad or just not fair, and it takes a toll. If you're somebody who's working in hospice, or somebody who's working in the emergency department, or somebody who's working in oncology in particular, you know, we have to deal a lot with people who are dying, and again, that takes a real toll on us. So there's a lot in nursing that's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that humor mm-hmm. comes from pain. So never was there a profession who had more material to work with than nurses do.
Well, it's kind of sort of like gallows humor. I think there's a sisterhood within the nursing profession. They've all been there, done that, and the only way you can get through it with your dear friends that you're working with is to keep your humor going for you, yourself, your patients, and your coworkers. Don't you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is about you sharing the humor with your colleagues and sharing the humor with your patients, because the benefits are then doubled. Not only do you have the benefit of experiencing the humor yourself, but then you're mm-hmm. sharing it with somebody else, they're enjoying it. And there have been a lot of studies that show the benefits of you getting healthier psychologically and even physically when you're doing acts of kindness or paying it forward to other people. And sharing humor is in many instances a way of paying it forward or an act of kindness.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to talk about in the next segment humor, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to talk about when to use humor, and also the sick humor, which I mentioned earlier, and the safest form of humor, which is a good thing to know if you have someone ill at a hospital or in your home or someone that you are a caretaker for. You know, when we come back from our commercial break, we're going to hear about your host today. And Karen, when we come back, I would love to have you share some information about where people can order your book, how they can get all of your books, and some information about your website. We'll be right
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with Karen Buxman.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
This is January Jones and sharing success stories. We've had a little technical problem, and now we're going to, we've shared all of our commercials, so now we're going to go straight through to the end of the show. We're here with Karen Buxman, our guest, the author of What's So Funny About Nursing. Karen, could you share with my listeners your website information and tell them how they can order your books?
Oh, man, I would love to do that. Yes, for anybody who's interested in the books on applied humor, and this is how humor can help you either with chronic illnesses or, again, for those in the nursing profession, there's three separate books right now. We have What's So Funny About Nursing, What's So Funny About OR Nursing for people in surgery, and What's So Funny About School Nursing. And so all of those books can be found on the website at KarenBuxman.com, and that's Karen with a Y, K-A-R-Y-N. And my last name, Buxman, is spelled B as in boy, U-X, M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, KarenBuxman.com. And the books can also be found on Amazon, but we have a special right now, particularly through Hospital Week, where we are we are discounting the books and charge on shipping and handling. So we really, really want to celebrate nurses and recognize what they're doing and give them a big salute. So we're giving everybody a break.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. Let's talk now about Chapter 3, Humor, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Tell us, Karen, when's the best time to use humor, and when is this, what is the safest form of humor?
Well, you know, let me back up just a little bit. In terms of the good, the bad, and the ugly, of course, when we're talking about humor, and you and I both go out into the world and encourage people to use humor, we're big advocates of this. And, of course, what we're really talking about is humor that makes people feel good, because we also know that there's humor that makes people feel bad. There's, you know, put-down humor and humor that can be very edgy or cutting. And there is a special kind of humor, too, that's so prevalent in healthcare. It's just thick. It's everywhere. And that's called, as you mentioned earlier, sick humor or gallows humor.
Oh, and,
you know, we love to laugh about body fluids, death, and dismemberment. You know, there's a reason for that. The closer you are to tragedy and death, the darker your humor becomes. And I learned this when I was doing my research. And at first I thought this was really something just particular to nurses. But the more I studied it, the more I realized that really anybody who is exposed to tragedy and death, they experience a lot of dark humor as a way of coping. And so our folks in, you know, similar professions, firemen, policemen, people in the military, people who are exposed to those kinds of traumatic events often use sick humor. But even people who experience things, I mean, they're folks that can go back and remember jokes, you know, even as far back as the Shuttle Challenger or O.J. Simpson or, know, the Princess Di, Michael Jackson. These were all, you know, very, just a myriad of material for sick humor. And so, you know, when is the right time? Because a lot of nurses use sick humor, and I'm a big fan of sick humor, to be honest. The only nurses that tend to step away from it are those who have been a little bit removed from the trenches. You know, if you're an educator or if you're an administration, if you don't have your hands in the caca, so to speak, you tend to go, oh, man, that's really unprofessional. But if you really, really are just in the trenches, those are the kinds of things that make you laugh. So yeah. When is it appropriate? Well, I use an acronym that I teach people called BET, Keeping Your Humor Safe, Bond Environment Timing. And what I tell people is first consider the bond. What's your relationship with that other person? You know, if it's your best friend or if it's you and me, we've known each other a long time. If I would tell you a joke you might find somewhat offensive, you'd probably get over it. Or you'd let me know and then we'd move on and we could still be friends. But if it's
anything
somebody,
would go.
But if it's somebody you've met for the first time, or if you're a nurse and it's a new patient or a family member that you've never met before, then you want to avoid using any kind of humor that you just aren't sure about. So if it's, you know, the stronger the bond, the safer the humor can be. Now, the second letter in there, E, is for environment. And what that means is, your audience is anyone in your environment, anyone who hears your humor, sees your humor, or experiences your humor, whether they're your intended audience or not. So sometimes what nurses run across is that, you know, they're talking to one another and it's somebody they've got a great bond with, but what they don't realize is that the door is ajar or somebody's on the other side of the curtain and somebody's overhearing it that they didn't intend to, or maybe they posted something making fun of patients or doctors because we do tend to target them in our humor, but you know, a confused family member walks in and sees it and they get offended. Nowadays, I really have to caution a lot of nurses, particularly younger nurses who are just getting into the profession, to be careful about their social media, because what they don't realize is while they're posting something on Facebook and they're thinking, well, who's going to see it? They would be amazed at who might see it, because, you know, it gets shared, it gets forwarded, and the next thing you know, your friend has forwarded it to her 2,000 best friends on her listserv, and now it's out there with your name attached. And the next thing you know, you're fired. It's not Donald Trump, it's your CEO who told you this. So think about your environment, and T is timing. And the thing about timing is not so much stepping on your laugh line. You know, you and I as professionals, we think about timing a lot in that kind of terms. But for most adults, and especially for nurses and healthcare professionals, our humor tends to come from pain and discomfort. Yeah. And, you know, we're not laughing about having too much money to spend. We're not laughing about having a wonderful car or a handsome boyfriend or a great hair day. You know, we're laughing about the things that make us crazy. Usually that's patients, it's doctors, it's family members, those kinds of things. But we don't find those things funny until we can emotionally detach. Sometimes that happens right away, but sometimes it takes time. January, have you ever been in a situation where at the time you thought, oh my goodness, I'm never going to live this down, and a week later you were telling it to one of your friends and you were laughing about it hysterically?
Oh, absolutely. Or, you know, I think with good friends, you have that rapport, and it's like a tennis match. You bat it back and forth. And that's such a good point that you've brought up about timing, how critical that is, bonding, and environment. These are things that most people would never think about, but those are things that nurses have to think about every day, don't they?
We really do, because we certainly want to do a good job with our patients. We don't want to offend them. We don't want to cause them more distress. We don't want to ever cause anybody more pain. And so that's why, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, there is a much safer form of humor to use if you're not sure, and that's self-effacing humor. Make fun of yourself. Make fun of your actions. You know, if you're poking fun at yourself, what you're doing is you're showing that other person your vulnerability. And it makes you appear safer to be with. It increases the amount of trust that someone would have with you. And it also makes them more likely to share their fears, their vulnerabilities. And so for nurses, this is very helpful because we need to know that kind of information. You know, sometimes patients are afraid to tell us things because they're afraid what our reaction might be. But if we're showing them that we too are vulnerable and we're willing to be on a person-to-person level and we see them as a human, not as an illness, now we can really cement that relationship. And so poking fun at yourself is really the safest form of humor to try out.
Well, you know, you were president of AATH, which is the Association of Applied Therapeutic Humor, and I am a member. And one of the most wonderful things that I found with that organization is the group that are called the Caring Clowns. And these are people who go into hospitals in clown attire and cheer people up. Tell us a little bit about that program.
You know, this is such an amazing group, and probably the majority of your listeners can relate to Patch Adams. You know,
Oh, yes. And
he was a physician, and he, in many senses, is a caring clown. But if you can imagine other people, whether they're nurses or even non-nurses, who go into these settings, as you mentioned, and they go into with clown attire, and they are specially trained on how to approach people, how to do it therapeutically, how to put people at ease.
Mm-hmm,
and in
mm-hmm.
a very non-threatening way, what they find is that people really will respond very positively to clowns for the most part. I actually took some clowning classes. And when we went out into the community, I was so amazed at how many people who never had seen me before in their lives. They didn't know who I was, but they would come up and they would start talking to me. They were engaging in conversation. And there's just this sense of wonderful sense of trust.
Yes,
and so, you know, these people, they're very compassionate, and they do a marvelous job of making people feel at ease and decreasing their stress in the hospital setting.
Oh, yeah, and their costumes promote silliness, frivolity. You can't help but smile when you see them. And what I love most about them is they take a clown name, and when they are in costume, they become that clown, and they never break character. And I've had some of the most fascinating conversations with some of the clowns at the AATH meetings. It's a wonderful group.
It is wonderful.
It's the best medicine. Laughter is the best medicine for yourself as a nurse and for your patients. How do you get them? Tell us about high touch and not high tech. What about touching your patients?
Well, when I'm talking in terms of high touch versus high tech, you know, what we found is the great news is our technology just grows by leaps and bounds. Even today, as I was touring a hospital here in Philadelphia, they were talking about a new robotic procedure that was going to allow women who needed hysterectomies to be home within 23 hours. It was like, holy cow. You know, it's just, again, the technology just is mind-boggling. Sometimes we get so caught up in the technology. And for instance, one of the things that's become mandatory and will soon be in all hospitals is electronic medical charting. So you'll hear the term EMR. And so again, this involves nurses having to be looking at the charts on a computer, and their attention is drawn away from the patient and having to deal more with the technology. And sometimes we become so absorbed in doing the technical piece that we forget that the person is there, and they are really wanting that human touch. And as I often remind people when I am speaking in hospitals, when people come into a hospital setting, they typically assume that we have the technical skills, that we have the best of equipment, and those kinds of things are all going to go well. What we're being judged on are our people skills. And this is what I'm talking about, high touch. You know, and a hand on someone's leg or arm and reaching out to them and touching them is one thing. But you can also touch a person personally by making that eye contact, by making a smile. You know, Patch Adams and I were having a conversation once. He's one of the advisors on my board for the Journal of Nursing Jocularity, which is now an online version. And you can find that on KarenBuxman.com, too. And, of course, he is a huge advocate of play. He is a huge advocate of play. But I said to him, well, what would you say to those professionals who feel like their environment does not allow them to play? You know, that their bosses would say, no, that would be unprofessional. And he said something he thought that was very profound. He said, play need be nothing more than, you know, a twinkle in your eye, a smile on your face, and a willingness to greet. That's high touch. That's high touch. That willingness to greet, that smile. Yes.
It can be very subtle, but so, so very effective. Now, you write about it takes a village, humor in your team. Now, when you go to the hospital and you're a nurse, you are on a team. And everyone has to keep everyone's morale up, fight frustration. What are some of the things that you can do as a nurse to keep your teammates inspired and not depressed?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do, ranging from things that are part of your mindset to things that are part of your environment. And with your mindset, you know, those are kinds of things where you can share humorous stories, you can share humorous jokes, you can be trying to bring those kinds of things out in one another. You can really cheer your teammates on. And, you know, when they're having a down day, to be sharing the humor with them and to help them be more intentional in their humor. The other kinds of things you can do in your environment is to, again, how can you increase the likelihood? One of the things that we have on the website that people can download, that their nurses can download, is we created nurse bingo cards. And, I mean, they're very funny kinds of things that you cross off. You know, you've got, you know, it ranges from anything from the coffee pot running out to your patient checking out against medical advice. And, you know, these are odd kinds of things that nurses have to deal with.
Right.
How can you make your environment more playful? And I actually went to one hospital, and in their OR, they held a theme day a couple of times a year. And at this, you know, sometimes they would have, like one time they had a country western day and they all donned bandanas and they played country western music. One time they had a Beach Boys day. And did they play Beach Boy music, somebody actually hauled in sand. Now, I'm not sure if that would still fly with regulations these days. But, you know, they really go all out. One group, they you know, put pink flamingos everywhere in their environment.
Oh,
you're wearing clown noses in your lab coat pocket. You know, these are things that as a team you can help build your camaraderie among one another and also help build a rapport with your patients.
Oh, absolutely. You know, at AATH, we all wear the clown noses, and it is just such a joyful, contagious feeling when you put that red nose on and you walk around and people look at you, and everyone can't help but laugh and smile. It's just a brilliant means of communicating with people. You know, what happens when nurses are at work and the you know what hits the fan? What do you suggest they do? How can they put humor into those situations?
Well, those are the times when you really need your sense of humor the most.
Yeah.
And this is why I try to teach people to not wait until the S hits the fan to learn how to use humor. You know, it's like exercise. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. It's almost like building a humor muscle. We're developing a habit so that then when the times get really tough, it's almost second nature. It is second nature to be able to move into that mindset of, okay, you know what, we're just going to laugh about this. We're going to reframe this. We're going to see the humor in this situation. So the best thing to do is to not wait until that late to begin developing your humor habit or building that humor muscle. But for those times when, you know what, you did just wait too late, you really have to sometimes just pause and actually ask yourself, okay, what's funny about this? How can I reframe this? How can I see the humor in this? You know, how will this be funny someday? Because if you really do, if you intentionally, strategically, proactively Look for the humor in the situation. And again, sometimes those most painful situations are the ones that are going to be the funniest if we just learn to play with our pain.
Yeah. You know, I think nurses, they need to create, they have a shared history with humor. And when they're out there on the front lines, they need to recognize and reward humor. It's something that is essential to their self-preservation and the care of their patients. I think this shared history is such a strong bond. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I love it when, you know, we had experiences today even at this one particular hospital where I was speaking for Nurses mm-hmm. Day, and they would just, you could see them nudge one another. Oh, remember the time such and such happened? And immediately they would all start laughing.
Yes.
And so just by generating those shared memories mm-hmm. that last for a long time, and it is. It's a humor history. I encourage people also to write these things down because as we've learned when we study the field of psychoneuroimmunology, and we've had wonderful teachers, including Dr. Earl Henslin and Dr. Lee Burke, and they talk about the bandwidth that we have in our prefrontal lobe, which is, you know, how much memory can we store? And you know what? There's not a lot of room up there. And with all the things we have to keep track of, how many times have you ever found yourself thinking, oh, what was that funny thing that we were laughing about last week? Oh, what was that he said? What was that joke? What was that funny line? You know, we just, our I don't know about you, my mind is a sieve. my memory is so short. And so I utilize resources. I always have a notebook around. And today, my phone has become one of my best friends for collecting humor. I'm constantly either talking into my recorder on my phone or I'm taking pictures. You know, if I see a funny sign, or today we saw some funny things while we were out and about touring Philadelphia, and we were snapping pictures left and right because we wanted to be able to go back and look at these things later to just cheer ourselves up. You know, when you're having that moment, that's when you need to tap into those resources that you've collected over time.
Well, you know, Karen, let's talk a little bit about laughter for no reason, and that's also known as laughter yoga, which is a wonderful thing that we promote, and actually Jeffrey Breyer will be coming on the show to share his experience with laughter yoga. You recommend this for a lot of your nurses and your patients, don't you?
Oh, I do, and I am a big fan of Jeffrey's. He is fantastic, and he's another Californian, and he does wonderful things in Laguna Beach. Back in 1998, Steve Wilson in Ohio and myself, we invested our time and energy in bringing over Madan Kataria from Mumbai, India, and we did a 22-city tour sharing the concept of laughter for no reason. And that really was the birth of both the Laughter Yoga and World Laughter Tour, which are very, very similar in their mindsets, you know, a little bit different structure and organization. But the bottom line is it's still about laughing for no reason. And what happens is that, you know, in terms of physical effects, your body really has a lot of the same benefits, whether it's a fake laugh or a real laugh. And what we also find is that many times fake laughter really does become genuine laughter, especially when you're doing it in groups, because just the sound of laughter is contagious. And, you know, and if you can, oh, it is so contagious. And, you know, you just, I think the biggest hurdle is overcoming your self-awareness and that fear of foolishness. Oh, my gosh, what if somebody thinks I look silly? But, you know, silly comes from the root word selig. And originally, that was a prayer wishing people more health, happiness, and prosperity. So I would wish everybody some more silliness, and I would wish them all to be silly. And to take that risk, because the benefits of laughing, even for no reason, are so many, and it's such a wonderful, wonderful exercise. And I really hope that your listeners will tune in and listen to Jeffrey when he comes on your show, because it's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And we talk about some of the techniques in the What's So Funny About series, both for patients and for nurses, just because it is a great tool in your tool belt to have for those days when, boy, there's just nothing funny happening in my life. Okay, well, I'm just going to laugh for no reason.
Right. Well, you know, letting the child out to play is always therapeutic, and there's so many ways you can encourage visual humor, verbal humor, music that you can hear that will help you relax and enjoy. And the fun of doing it with other people is so therapeutic. Briefly, could you tell us a little bit about the 24-hour challenge?
Oh, I love that. Because that's, you know, when you experience some kind of humor, whether you see something funny or whether you hear something funny, your challenge is to share it with somebody within 24 hours.
Okay.
Because,
okay,
you know, when you share humor with somebody else, now, again, you've doubled your bang for your buck. Because not only are you having the joy of experiencing it again as you tell it, now you've paid it forward to someone else. And they're getting the benefit as well. And so, you know, just the anticipation of knowing that you're going to be sharing it with somebody, there's a lot of research going on right now that shows the anticipation of humor and the anticipation of positive emotions, the benefits are almost as great as if you were experiencing the humor or the positive emotion in the first place. So it is, it's a wonderful, wonderful exercise. So yeah, pay it forward, pay it forward, pay it forward.
Wonderful. And it's so important to find someone else there who gets it, someone that you can reach out to, that you can relate to, that you can count on. And I know that all the nurses out there listening are thinking about their coworkers and the relationships they've developed over the years. And it's what makes their profession so very, very special. You know, Karen, let's talk a little bit about the last laugh, good advice, and a great joke.
Okay. You know, I want to go back and just make one other comment about what you were just talking about, because what you said was so important. Because one of the things that dawned on me was that many times we're not being intentional really with anything during the course of our day, but one of the things we're not being intentional about is how we spend time with other people. Mm-hmm. And what you said was so important. When we spend time with those that make us laugh or bring us joy, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that we run into who take up our time or suck up our time, who are more negative. Mm-hmm. And I want people to think about, who is the person that brings me joy? Who's the person that makes me laugh? Who's the person that lights up when I come into the room? Who's the person that if I call them, oh my gosh, they don't screen my call, they actually pick up the phone. How can I spend time with that person? Because this is the person that you really, this is how you really get the value of that bonding relationship, and the person who gets you, the person who gets you. You know, but in terms of the last laugh, you know, really, you just, we want to, again, be proactively and purposefully using the humor. And you know, we were looking at how can we send people off with something positive and something humorous. And so we came up with a joke that we love sharing with nurses, particularly during this time of year when we're celebrating their accomplishments. And it was a story about three physicians who were walking along the beach and spied a magic lamp. And one of the physicians ran up to it and he grabbed it and he goes, I know this has a genie inside of it. I'm just sure of it. And he rubbed it, and what do you know but a genie pops out. And so the first physician looks at the other two and he says to the genie, I want a wish. And the genie said, well, I'll grant each of you one wish. Okay. And so the first physician, who was a neurologist, said, well, I want to be 25% smarter than these other two guys. And the genie said, no problem. Your wish is granted. You are 25% smarter. And the second doctor said, well, why want my wish? I want my wish. And he goes, fine, fine. And this one was a psychiatrist, and he said, well, I want to be 50% smarter than these two other guys. And the genie said, well, that's no problem. Your wish is granted. You are now 50% smarter. And the third one said, well, wait. I want my turn. And he was a surgeon. And the genie said, no problem. What's your wish? And he said, well, I want to be 100% smarter than these other two guys. And the genie said, that's not an issue. No problem. Your wish is granted. You are now a nurse.
What a fabulous joke to end this show on, Karen. I love it, and I know every nurse out there is loving it and laughing so much. You've made my day, and it's been a wonderful visit. Briefly, could you share your website information one more time for our listeners?
I would love to. Again, it's Karen Buxman, KarynBuxman. You know, my email address is just karen@karenbuxman.com. And if any of your listeners out there have a fun story that they would like to share, I would love to hear from them. And I promise that for every funny story they send me, I will send them two back. So they'll get a double bang for their buck. And I also encourage them to, again, share their humor with others. If I can be a resource for them, the website is there for them. We also have, we're out there on social media. For nurses, there's on Twitter is @FunnyNurse. And on Facebook, we have Journal of Nursing Jocularity. So we have many different avenues at which to bring humor to nurses because we know how beneficial it is. And again, we want to celebrate them and recognize them and congratulate them on a job well done, you know, particularly this time of year, but it also acknowledging the fact that they are doing this job, and it's a wonderful job, 24/7, 365.
Right.
And I'm very proud to be a nurse and of the profession.
And you should be. And to all my friends out there, if you know a nurse, now is the time to order this book and give them this book as a gift. I guarantee they will love it, and they will laugh, and they will share it with their friends. Karen, you've done a great service to the nursing profession. And as always, it's so wonderful to have you on the show. And I hope you will come back again and again and again.
I would love that. I would love that. And thank you so much. You're doing such a great service. And thank you for getting this message out to so many listeners. It's a wonderful thing, and it's such a valuable message.
It's been my pleasure. And to all my wonderful listeners today, we hope you've enjoyed our show with Karen Buxman. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will absolutely amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. I would personally love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, I want you all to stop whining and start smiling, and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate.
Amen to that.
Again, thank you to my fellow chocoholic, Karen Buxman. It's been a great time having her on the show. And be sure to order her book and give it to everyone you know. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.